You're listening to Sounds Good. It's your midday music and community conversation program. I'm Tracy Ross. I'm pleased to welcome Debbie Henry Danielson and Fred Thomas into the studios. Debbie's executive director at Murray Art Guild, and Fred, a famed frame maker and husband of the late Joy Thomas, who's going to be the subject of not one, but two retrospective exhibits coming up at the Rather West Kentucky Museum and the Murray Art Gallery, Murray Art Guild Gallery. Welcome.
That's a hard one.
Welcome to both of you.
Thanks, Tracy.
Thank
Good
you.
To be here.
Well, first of all, it's really, I think if you know Joy in her work, then you obviously know that she was a brilliant painter of portraits. But Fred, what would you like people who didn't have a personal relationship with Joy to know about her as an artist and a person?
To describe Joy, I think the most single word would be inspirational. She was the epitome of confidence, as Shakespeare said. She was, though she may be little, she be fierce. She grew up in the panhandle of Texas, came to Murray as an art student after high school. She and one of her New York City teachers, Bert Silverman, compared their stories. He grew up in Brooklyn, poor Jewish kid, but he could look across the bay and see Manhattan. Joy grew up in the panhandle of Texas, and you did well to see your neighbor. Bert said he never thought he could go be a famous artist. And Joy said, at least you had high schools and things, art programs available to you, Bert. Teachers hit my hands with rulers for trying to draw in class, you know. And so it was quite a journey. Joy never did anything halfway. Anybody that knew her knew the intensity that she brought to everything she did. She was majorette in the eighth grade for her high school, danced ballet until she realized it was going to destroy her feet, and then knew that from the time she was little, when people would ask her when she was little, what do you want to be? And she said, an artist. And so, you know, the story goes on and on. Everyone fell in love with her. We did catch as catch can with her art education. We both grew up poor kids. When I came to Murray, I was still plowing with mules, you know, when we came. And Joy just would confidently every risk that we took. And we took every one of the risks that poor kids aren't supposed to take to try to accomplish, seeing to that her career went the way that it did. And Joy was an innate talent. Greg Kreutz, another one of her New York City art teachers, introduced her when she had won some awards at the National Art Club as a self-taught genius. And Joy told the crowd, no one's a self-taught genius. Some people are born with the ability to see, and then you either have the hand skills and the visual acuity to work your butt off to get to where you are. And she always thanked those teachers that had struggled to maintain the classical drawing and painting through the dark years of the 20th century's demise of that. So many of them had been great illustrators, and then many of them turned to portrait painters. And their drawing skills and their painting skills were acquired from hundreds of years of history of teaching. And Joy was just the recipient. And she always said that despite being a woman, and we saw that effect, the effect of that many times, she came along at the right time. The people wanted realism again. They didn't want to be told anymore what art was. They wanted the real thing. And Joy, we sent her to every workshop, every class, everywhere she could go to follow these teachers. And if you go to these, if you're not familiar with Joy's work, you can go to her websites, and then please come to these gallery shows because they are magnificent.
I think all artists, you know, training is part of it, but I think each artist has an individual bit of magic that they sprinkle on their work. Debbie or Fred, either one, what's the magic in Joy's work?
I think part of it is, Joy's ability to observe, but then also to just empathize with what she was observing. Joy could tell a story visually. She could also tell a great story in a conversation.
Greatest storyteller in the world.
Yeah, and so I think it was her ability to observe and then share that observation in a way that's full of beauty.
Because her father had been a pipeliner, she traveled like a gypsy, went to 14 different schools before she finally went to high school. So anybody that's ever switched one school, much less 14, has to become a student of human characteristics, the psychology of having to fit in socially with that next group. And it did Joy well, because she was able to move and groove into any social situation that she got into.
And she never wasted any time doing that. And so there's not a brushstroke wasted in her paintings, and she was just like that as a person. I mean, she would walk right up and say, I don't know you, who are you? Or what do I need to know about you? And she did the same way in her paintings. So there's not a wasted brushstroke. She just had that an ability to be concise and to the point, and had no fear in getting there.
And I know that she really had an influence on a lot of people who took classes with her at the Art Guild, the weekly drawing classes. What is it that makes an artist a good instructor, able to impart that ability onto others, most of whom probably are nowhere near as talented?
Empathy. Joy. It didn't matter if the person had no talent at all, and the possibility of them ever producing brilliant work was nil. She appreciated their efforts, because if everyone would investigate it a little, you know, and take an interest and look into it, and that was Joy's attitude, we would all understand art more, you know. And Joy's attitude with these days with the internet, you can Google anything. You can educate yourself as well as anyone in the world. And so she loved people who took an interest in art.
Well, it's that empathy, and it was also generosity. I've seen plenty of people come through that aren't willing to share. And Joy always, when Fred said inspiration, Joy always did the best that she was, and she encouraged everyone around her to be the best that they are. I mean, she really did raise the bar, not just by being there, but in the way that she encouraged people that they could be that person.
Tell us about these two exhibits, some of the works that will be in them, and also about the receptions on Saturday.
The show at the Rather is concentrating on a number of her commissioned portrait works. But I really wanted, and let me put a big thank you in there to Murray State University for supplying the Rather, which Joy and I have always loved. Along with these finished portraits are numbers of studies, drawings, the very things that she did, like a piano player practicing scales. She constantly kept her hand into that, and I want it to be, in a sense, educational for people, because the finished portraits are so complicated. You know, only someone in the art field is going to look at those and really understand. They may be beautiful to everyone, but to understand how she got there is difficult for a layman. Whereas you can see the marks on the drawings. You can see what led up to those brilliant paintings by looking at those studies.
And anything in particular at the reception? Will you be speaking at both of them, Fred?
Probably.
Maybe the one at the Guild will be a little less formal, but I think at 6:30 they've asked me to say some words about Joy and her career for anyone at the Rather who is there to hear. And you know, I think part of this show is kind of a closure for the community.
Debbie, is there anything that we haven't touched on yet that you'd like people to know about?
Yes, what I'd like to add is in contrast to the pieces at the Rather, the pieces at the Art Guild are smaller and in some ways intimate in that they're a different body of work. They're landscapes and still lives. There's also some portrait work, but also some of Joy's other work through landscape and still life is included at the Guild. So both exhibitions will be open reception from 5 to 8 p.m. with Fred speaking at Rather at 6:30, and then people can make their way over to the Guild. We'll be there to share Joy. And then both exhibits will be up for the whole month, so Rather regular hours through the month of January. I think it comes down February 2nd, and the Art Guild exhibit is regular Guild hours through the month until February 1st. And if people need information, they can contact the Guild or check our website at murrayartguild.org.
All right, Debbie, Fred, thank you so much for coming by today and speaking with me.
Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you, guys.